Good morning. First of all, since I'm not up here a lot, I don't get to announce things that I'm involved with, so I thought I'd do that. So we each week, Sunday night, we have a high school group called Not a Fan Club. And if you're in high school and you'd like to come to that, I'd really welcome you. It's at my house. And if you want more information on like where I'm at and stuff, at the bottom you see notafan.club. That's the actual dot club, not dot com. Dot club is where you'll find like a map, where I'm at and all that. So we eat, we have some games, we do worship, we meet in small groups, we have a study, all sorts of things. So I really encourage if you're in high school or if you know somebody in high school, get them in contact with us so that we can bring them in. It's really a great group, so I'd really appreciate more people to come. Another thing we have going, we have our upper room, which is our young adult, which is from 17 to 29. So if you're in that age group or you know somebody in that age group, that is here Saturday evenings from 7 to 9. We meet in the upper room upstairs, and what we do is we first meet down here and we have coffee time, we have discussion, and then we go to the upper room and have a worship time as well as a message and further discussion. So again, if you know somebody in that age bracket, let me know. I'd love to contact them and bring them into our group. Okay, one other thing coming up is our interns. We've talked about our interns. We have four interns that are that work here at Harvest, and they've been working with a guy named Jason Graber, if you know him. And what we've been doing is, or they've been doing really, is putting together a game for you all to be involved with. And it's Clue, and in this case, it's called Homicide at Harvest Hall. And you come in, and there'll be a I got to do a dry run the other day, and in here there's a table set up, and there's 11 different suspects. There's a cop that gives us a suspect list, and you try to figure out where everybody's been sitting, who died. Earl Gray, he's the one that dies. You go around the church. There's some different things that you have to do to try to figure it out, and so you go through this whole investigation where you follow clues and everything and try to figure out who did the murder. And just read the front of this. When you come in, there's videos running in different rooms and stuff, and they try to help you. You have to break into safes, and there's just all kinds of things going on. You really don't want to miss this. So it says, Lord Gray was murdered this evening at a dinner party in his house. You have 1 hour to interview residents, guests, and staff, as well as find clues that will lead you to the killer. Remember that nothing beyond the caution tape pertains to the mystery. Okay, so we'll have caution tapes, you know, not to go in certain areas. If you get stuck or need more information, the staff may be willing to offer up more in exchange for some cash. So you get some cash from Monopoly money to work with, okay? Your points will be based on time remaining, money remaining, and answered solved. So good luck. So that's how that runs. And
let's... Are you here for the murder mystery?
Yeah, I'm the detective.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you. I'm the butler here.
Good to meet you, butler.
Great meeting you here, yeah.
So what do you know about this crime?
Well, I do know that the Lord here died from blunt force trauma. Very, very sad. You know, I've known him ever since I was 12. You know, grew up playing football and stuff like that. And we just loved each other so much.
Where were you sitting?
I believe I was right next.
Because
to
if I recall, there was the desk, there was the table,
and
how many of you were around that table?
Roughly 11.
11 of you,
yeah.
And so
yeah.
And how did he die? Do you recall did they find a weapon?
No, they have yet to find the weapon. I believe that's why you're here, sir, hear that. Yeah,
I realize that. I just want to get anything I know from you.
See,
if you have some
see.
Information, I want to know.
I believe he might have been hit in the back of the head, if I recall.
Hit in the back of the head.
Yeah,
huh?
That's what I recall. I do recall that Miss Scarlett, you know, used to be very good friends with the cook, actually.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Up,
okay. You know? Well, This was did they know the, did they know him very well? Was it a close relationship?
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. Hello, ladies. I'm Detective Frank.
Hello. Can you help us?
Can you help me? I'm here. I'm not. There's.
Calm
I think
down, Ms. Scott.
Maybe we should call a reverend for something. But in the meanwhile, let me just ask a quick question. Do you where were you when this took place?
I'm the maid, and I was preparing food in the kitchen. But I do have some people I think might have motive to have killed Lord Grey.
Oh, really?
If you ask me, I think it was Reverend Green. You see, Reverend? He was in love with Lord Grey's daughter, Lady Grey, and they wanted to run away together. And the night of the murder, they were planning to do so, but Lord Grey caught them and stopped them.
Hmm.
I feel like that is a motive, if you ask me.
And Miss, how about you? Do you know where were you sitting at this time?
She's a bit emotional. I don't think she'll be able to answer.
Clearly. Well, maybe.
I should take her away.
Okay.
We'll be retiring now.
All right. Well, I'll be talking to you and everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. Anyway. So this game will be played live in action, where you actually are out there interviewing the guests of the party and trying to figure out, through the clues, who it is that was the murderer, what the weapon was, and stuff like that. So we welcome you all. It's free. It's this Friday, and it starts at, you can come anytime between 6 and 9, so it'll be like an... there'll be plenty of action running between 6 and 9. You can come anytime in between there, between 6 and 9, because you can join the game. The game will be in progress, and so you'll just join the game and work your way through it and work your way out. So anyway, 6 to 9 this Friday night. Hope you can all make it. All right, so a little bit more serious. I go from play to like the deepest question in life. Do you feel loved by God?
Yes.
I ask that question often of myself. It comes up a lot in groups and things. You know, do you feel loved by God? And I think the common answer is yeah. And if I further inquire, the answer will typically be sorta. I mean, I don't know if I feel exactly loved by God, but I think God. I mean, I believe God loves me. You know, it's hard to get to that point where I talk to somebody and I say, "Do you feel loved by God?" And then they're like, "Yes! I'm overwhelmed." I don't usually get that response. I don't know. I don't get that. I mean, we are talking about the God of the universe, the God that created every single person in here, every entity. We're talking about the God that every molecule exists because of Him. We're talking about the God that determines the future outcome of every single one of us, the God that is preparing heaven for us. We're talking about the God of the universe, whether or not the God of the universe loves us. And if we believe He does, then why is it that our response is, well, I think so. I mean, it doesn't match. It doesn't match. And it doesn't match for me the way it needs to. And it doesn't match for any of us the way it needs to, because we're just not quite getting it. And so I wanted to try to move that along just a little bit this morning by having you consider the following two pictures of couples. So I have two different pictures. And here's picture number one. I want you to think about what emotions that brings to your mind, what you see, what you feel. And then I want you to consider this next picture. Now I want to ask you a couple questions. Which relationship feels more stable and unconditional? Does anybody going to say the first? I'm going to think not. We all say the second. Raise your hand if you say the second. Okay, I mean, I think I got a unanimous audience here. But that first one, they're so young and all that. Isn't it love is all about being young and in love? You're all like baloney, right? Okay, how about another question? Which relationship feels like it would be a whole lot of fun for at least an hour or two? Okay, we'll agree on the first one on that one. All right, how about this one? Which relationship feels more safe, where you could be honest and vulnerable, share your deepest hopes and fears, feel at peace, and relate in a deep and intimate way? We're all feeling the same way. There's something that we're seeing in that you know, the length of the relationship, maybe the way that she feels so comfortable. And we can't even see their faces. We're just looking from behind. Isn't that interesting how much we can get out of a picture? Kind of makes you just want to give a sigh of just feeling like, wow, I would love to just feel just at peace. Just, well, that emotion is the kind of emotion, for example, that we need to feel with God. Where when we're with God, it's just that feeling of just peace. Just, I feel taken care of. I feel loved. I feel like I can be just vulnerable and I'm safe. Ephesians 3:16 to 19, I believe this is possibly, I think it is my favorite passage in the Bible because it really speaks to this issue. I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, and that dwell in your heart, you know, obviously he's talking to Christians, so he's not saying be saved, but that he'll dwell, like take center stage in your heart through faith, so that because you've been rooted and grounded in love, so he's just kind of stating this fact, you are, if you're a Christian, you are rooted and grounded in love, fact, okay? Because you've been rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend, meaning like to grasp. Because the fact is already there. That's not the issue. It's whether or not we're grasping the issue. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and thus to know, meaning to experience, to like know in your heart the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And you wonder by the way, there's four dimensions there. How does that work, huh? A lot of different scholarly opinions on that one, but the one that kind of makes sense to me the most is that the depth is kind of like deep in your heart, where the other ones are kind of describing like how vast it is. So if we take this passage and we just kind of simplify it, the key thing I think it's saying in that first part is pray for spiritual strength. Okay, so if you want this to happen, pray for spiritual strength. Number two, make Christ number one in your life. Number three, acknowledge the truth that God loves you. Number four, personalize and experience God's love. And then from there, can you imagine how that would feel? To completely experience, to know the depths that we do not know of the God that is the eternal God that loves us. And it says that we will be filled with this fullness that is of God. The issue, though, is that there's an intellectual understanding of God's love, And then there's this comprehension and experience, and that's this great divide, is going from I believe, which most people that I talk to that are Christians acknowledge, yes, I think this is a fact. It's moving to the comprehension and the experience that's lacking. And I was thinking of an example that, I don't know, anybody been to the races, seen Top Fuel dragster races? Okay, if you have, and were you by the starting line? Sitting by the starting line, Top Fuel, okay. If you haven't, let me just tell you the facts, okay? This is just some of the facts. I love the facts of these Top Fuel because it's mind-blowing, and I'm telling you, it is mind-blowing. A Top Fuel dragster makes over 10,000 horsepower, and compare that to an average truck of about 250 to 450 horsepower. 10,000. Do you see the difference? 10,000 horsepower. Under full throttle, a dragster engine consumes 11.2 gallons of nitromethane per second. 2 5-gallon pails per second. 1,001. Boom! 1,000. Boom! That's how much it's sucking up. That's the kind of power that is required of nitromethane. Okay? And dragsters reach over 300 miles per hour before you finish reading this sentence. Boom! Starting from the beginning of that sentence, off the line is now 300 miles an hour. It launches. All right? Bottom line, assuming all the equipment is paid off, the crew work for free, nothing blows up, each run costs about $1,000 per second. Okay. Now, I'm telling you those facts, and when you hear those facts, if you're a guy, if you're a gearhead at all, you're like, you know, like, wow, that is, it's just phenomenal. But I tell my wife these things, and I just don't get the kind of response I'm looking for. You know, I took her to the drag races, and she was so bored, you know. She's like, you know, there they go, you know. And I'm like, she's like, what do you like? I was like, so all day long, I'm like, wait for the Top Fuel, because it's a different world, honey. It's a different world. I mean, because these guys pull off the line, even if they pull a wheelie, all that. It's like, okay, that's kind of fun. That's cool. I was like, and I kept telling her, wait for the Top Fuel. Wait for the Top Fuel. It's just a whole different thing. Okay. So finally that night, they don't come on till like late, you know, and they finally bring them out. You know, they're so expensive to run. They rebuild the engine between each run. It's just that complex. So they get up there, pull up. First of all, they're up there, bum, 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 and then, and it's not enough. They don't have enough throttle on that a lot of the gas is actually coming out raw and getting in your eyes, so your eyes are starting to burn, and you want to be close to the starting line. And then all of a sudden, so we're there, and all of a sudden, whoa! I mean, and you're just like that. I mean, you cannot. They launch. I mean, if you watch on TV and you think you get an idea of what it's like, you don't. You have to be there. You cannot believe. It's just whoa! And they're just gone. It's like they're whoosh. It's like a rocket launch, and it is like a rocket launch, and it's phenomenal. Okay, so when we did this, it was whoom, and I looked over. She's like this, and then she stood up. She goes, so it was the difference from going from factual information to experience. I mean. And that whoom, it like, what's crazy is you feel it. It's like, it runs through your bones. It's so much power. You're just blown away, not only by the sound, but the speed, but just the, and that feeling is beyond what I can explain to you, other than you've got to go do it. It's worth, I don't know what, it's probably $50 to go to do it. And skip most of the day, in my opinion. Just go to see that one. Go to the end of the day and watch those Top Fuel. Well, similarly, a little bit different, but just to make the comparison between knowing something and feeling it, okay? This is a picture of me and my daughter. It's not a picture from yesterday. Or even last week. Honestly, it's 30 years ago. This is a picture of me and my daughter. And You know, I enjoy looking at pictures like this because, I mean, I feel like, wow, you know, the love you have for your kid is something that tells you things about life that you never understood. One of the things that it really hit me was like, wow, I never realized how much my parents loved me. Because when you have this child and you like have feelings that you never experienced before, and then you're able to reciprocate that to like, if I have these feelings, then what must my parents have had for me? And it makes you all the more appreciative of how your parents feel for you, never realizing, wow, when I was a little kid, they loved me like that. I never thought about that, you know? But they did. They loved me like that. And so that's one of the most wonderful things about being a parent is understanding the love that you have from your own parents. But secondly, does this tell me something about God's love for me? I think it does. See, we can't emotionally comprehend God's love for us, but we can understand our love for our children, and it can help us to reciprocate that to God. And multiply it many millions of times over, because God's so much greater. He created love. And so anything that we have is just one little piece of that love that he created. And so we can use these kinds of experiences to help gain a little bit of the feeling that God must have for us. Another thing I think of is awe, what joy I feel knowing how secure my daughter's name is Desiree, feels next to me. When I look at that and I isn't she just like so... She's so secure, and I'm sitting there, like big, strong dad, something like that. She just is like secure, and I relate that back again to God. How secure I am with God, even though I don't feel it, I need to use my life's experiences to make that connection, to look at a picture like this, for example, and to then make that connection to God. So I just answered. So I've struggled in my life with making God God's love real, and I'm not a very emotional guy, so I think that makes it even harder. And I didn't even try for most of my Christian life, but a number of years back now, I really decided that I was going to do everything possible, and I developed this strategy, and that was that I was going to create a picture in my mind of God physically showing His love for me, and you know, imagine, and you know, like the picture of me and my daughter, or just of God holding me, or you know, and so I did that. I created this picture in my mind to help move from this thought of God loving me to a feeling of God loving me, and then just kind of enjoying that. And I would do this in bed. And I've done this for years now, and it's probably the most beneficial thing I can think of, is just to lay in bed and imagine being loved by God. You know, you can do all sorts of things to try to challenge me to serve God, to try to be more disciplined and do all these different things, but you know what makes the most difference is just laying in bed and trusting His love for me. Because that brings out my need, my desire to respond to God is so much greater by knowing His love for me than by any challenge you could ever give me to do anything. It changes who I am. It changes my heart. To know that the creator of the universe, it loves me. And just to feel that, and to feel that I'm held by him, and to just to experience that is amazing. So I want to ask you this morning, what picture fits for you? What picture fits for you? To do this is an amazing thing, to imagine whatever it is in your life that you can put in your mind, and as you, when you're going to bed at night, when you're walking through the day, whenever, if you can just take that and apply it to how you think about God. I know you love me, God, but I just don't feel it. But apply some sort of picture, some sort of emotion where it can become more real to you. Because the difference of serving God from the mind and serving God with a mind and heart that both go together towards that is an unbelievably multiplied factor. For me in my life, it has made all the difference in the world to serve God, believing God, but then to serve God believing and feeling his love for me. It's been just tremendous. And so do that. Think of what it is and pray about that. Lay in bed. Do whatever it is you do. Take walks. But imagine God loving you. Just imagine it. And do it over and over. I've been doing this for years. It never gets old because my beliefs is constantly under pressure that does God really love me now? Even now? But I don't feel it. I mean, so it's a never-ending thing. Just keep doing it over and over and over. And be filled up to all the fullness of God. Because that's the end point. I mean, how is it that by comprehending God's love, it fills us up? And I think it's as we get to know and believe and trust and fully comprehend who this God is and how much he loves us, that changes who we are. I believe more than any other thing, it changes who we are. And we are then filled with the fullness of God. And when we have that kind of fullness, as we approach life, as we approach loss, death, health problems, relationship problems, problems in job, school, anxiety, depression, you name it. When we come against these issues and we have the fullness of God, it completely changes everything. Instead of going after shallow methods to avoid our pain, such whether it's drinking or whether it's, we have all sorts of methods of trying to control our lives and trying to put things in order and I need another smoke. I mean, there's just a million ways that I've tried but they're shallow. They're shallow. What we need is we need something that's deep. We need the ultimate answer. We need God. We need to trust his love. When we're running up against the worst things in life, the issue that we always have that matters is that God loves us. And if the creator of the universe loves you, which he does, it doesn't matter what we're up against. It doesn't matter what happens. I can know I am loved by God. You can do anything you want to this body. You can shoot me. You can drag me in the streets. It doesn't matter. God loves me. And if God loves me, I have an eternity with him. And that is his promise to me. And so that is worth anything I can do, such as create these emotions that help me to understand and to connect to this loving God that I have. I want to play a song for you that really became a meltdown experience for me, that it's been about 4 or 5 years ago that I was really coming to grips with this idea that God really does love me in an emotional way. And I heard this song, and it just melted me. And I would like you to, as I play it, maybe we could all stand. Could we all stand? I think it's good to, you know, I think it's helpful. There's something about standing, maybe. It's just, I don't know. Gives us a little more zest or something. If we could just stand and I want you just to imagine your picture. What is your picture of God loving you? And as the song is playing, imagine God just loving you, squeezing you, holding you, kissing you, whatever it is that you need that makes sense to you, that God loves you. As we play this song, let's play it. So this song, you know, another thing that I get a lot of opportunity to do because of the groups that we're in is we focus on God's love a lot, and I hear a lot of worship songs about God's love. And so a song like this, go to YouTube. Listen to these songs in the morning. Listen to them at night. This one is called How He Loves. Go to YouTube. I'm sure we all have some internet access. Go to YouTube. You can just listen to it for free. And just bask in the fact that God loves you. And if you want other songs about God's love, send me a text or an email or call me or whatever. I'll give you plenty. It makes a big difference to be soaking in the truth that God loves you. Listen to the songs. Put ideas in your mind that are in line with the truth that God loves me, and pray and just dwell and bask in that truth and experience the fullness of God. So this morning, do you feel loved by God? Yes! Yes! I feel loved by God. That's what we're doing. Man, that's what I. Yes. Yes. Now, it's possible you're here this morning and you haven't even begun a relationship with God. I don't know. It's hard to feel loved by God, or maybe you've done things in your life that you don't feel like God could possibly love you. Let me tell you, the Bible is very clear that there is nobody that can sin more than God can love. And his death on the cross is greater than any sin that, you know, Adolf Hitler can be saved if he trusts Christ. I mean, there is nobody that is beyond God's love and the sacrifice. You can be saved. You can have a relationship with God no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what. And if you don't have that relationship and you want it this morning, you can have it. All you need to do is call out to God and ask him and trust him that he loves you, that he died for you. And if you're ready to do that, you want a relationship with God, you want to have his fullness, just pray along with me, and I'm going to say a prayer, and of course it has nothing to do with my prayer. It's going to be your heart to God. I'm just going to pray just to kind of give you something to think about. Dear God, I trust you, God. I trust that you created me. You are the God of the universe, and I want a relationship with you, Lord. You sent your son to die for me, to die for my sins. You gave the ultimate sacrifice, and it was a demonstration of your love. You were beaten, and you went through all that, not as a victim, but as a person of love that chose to sacrifice himself for me, Lord. And I want to put my trust and my faith in you. And Jesus Christ, I love you. I want you to be Lord of my life. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you. I think we're actually dismissed. Because I had the song, yeah, we're actually dismissed. So you're dismissed.